Today, volumes are still dropping in the main market. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Welcome to Latest Posts, covering finance and property news with a distinctively Australian and New Zealand flavour. Today I'm joined again by property expert Joe Wills. Hello, Joe.
Hi, Martin.
Good to see you. And we're going to talk about Auckland, I think, today.
Yeah, well, I thought I've been away for a couple of weeks and I've been neglecting my DFA duties, which are obviously, as you were well aware, largely voluntary. so I thought I'd better have a bit of a catch up and just a discussion of what's going on. We're getting some, we're going through winter and winter is now coming to a close. We're about to hit the spring market. And it's going to be really interesting to see what happens in the spring market. Now, I've got somebody who started to track the data of properties available for sale and properties available for rent in most of the major centres. It's at the moment quite wintry and it's quite flat, so there's not a lot to see. But as we continue to track this going through the next few months, it's going to be really interesting to see if we do get that, will spring flood the market that we touched on a month or two ago. And early signs are that there's going to be quite a lot of stock that's going to hit the market. And I think October will be the month that it does. So We're not there yet, but we'll get it tracked fairly soon. The stories coming out of Auckland are quite worrying. There's discussions that I've had with a couple of agents now who are in some of the areas where there've been heavy levels of development, and they're now talking to developers who are holding properties off the market that are completed for fear of them competing with other properties. Now, this is something that when I did the Auckland housing crisis posts one, but particularly two and three, the parts that we did at the end of last year, I thought that we would see this come in, and it looks like it is now. So the developers are holding stuff on the market for fear of competing with other properties that they're trying to sell. You've also got some of the new apartments and development blocks struggling, so lots of calls for exemption on the foreign buyer ban. Even last week, National Party leader Simon Bridges muted the suggestion that maybe the National Party would overturn the foreign buyer ban. So just shows how relevant and how important all that foreign liquidity was. And my back of a fact packet calculation a couple of months ago said we might be missing $3 or $4 billion worth of money just into the Auckland market. Now, DFA watcher and supporter and generous contributor of his time, Mike, has put some stats together for us, because what we wanted to do is compare the winter period of this year with winter periods that have happened over the last few years. We've broken it down by price range again so that you can see where the bigger drop-offs are. And it's really quite interesting. So this is data that compares Auckland sales volumes from June, July and August over the last few years, a three-month comparison of years. If you look at the peak of the volumes in the Auckland market in 2015, the 500,000 to 750,000 bracket, if you compare 2019 volume of sales to 2015, we're down 46.5% from the peak volume. Same price bracket comparison of 2017 to 2019, it's actually up 6.7%. So 2017 was a year that winter was leading into the general election that we had. The 2018 to 2019, so post foreign buyer ban, first winter post foreign buyer ban, you're down 10.5% in that 500,000 to 700,000 bracket. The 750,000 to 1,050,000 bracket, the 2015 peak data, so 2019 volumes of sales are 26% down. The 2017 to 2019 data, they're actually up 13%. and 2018 to 19 is down 3.4%. Now, the thing about this market is this is actually where Kiwis generally on, you know, a couple of good incomes can still get the big mortgages to go and buy in Auckland. And over 50% of mortgages being written to first home buyers in Auckland are currently at multiples that are greater than 5x household income. So that's gross household income, not factoring they've got to pay tax, and therefore actually the multiples in real money are much larger. Now, the real telling thing is when you go north of that 1,050,000 bracket, so Mike's broken down the 1,050,000 to 1.4 million level, 2015 to 2019 comparison, 17% down. The 2017 general election year to 2019, down 5%. But the 2018 to 19, no foreign buyers anymore. That's down 13.7%. So quite a big shift in the years. And then we go to the next banding. And this is where I think Kiwis are struggling a little bit to get into this market. The 1.4 to 2 million bracket, 2015 comparison to 2019, and sales in 2019 down 34%. 2017 to 19, which is again the election year, they're down 22% in volume terms, and they're down 24% from last year. So it's quite telling just how big that impact has been on the upper ends of the market. I got sent a letter, which I've written down here, which came from a Auckland-based real estate agent and was sent out to his mailing list. And I just want to read it out. It's a bit worrying, actually. Shall I read it out? Am I going to scare people?
Yeah, go on.
Okay, so this has gone from an Auckland-based real estate agent. Hi, friends. Happy September. Get ready for the rush of properties coming onto the market over the next 3 months. A lot of sellers have waited for the property market to bounce back in the hope that they would get price they thought they would get 24 months ago. Bad news, I'm afraid. The market has already dropped about 10% since then, with more movement to come. The upper end has certainly gone cold, and anything over 2.5 million is probably going to sit around for a while. Putting them up for rent is not going to be much help either, as rentals at the upper end have also gone quiet. The market that is still alive and kicking are those homes under $1.5 million. Still plenty of activity at the open homes generally and still selling. Days on market has shot out to 56 days for St Heliers and 60 days for Mission Bay, although I expect that to come back a bit by November, December. Officially, the sales volume in Auckland has increased over the last year. We have to remember that Auckland is a conglomerate of small villages, each quite different from the next. What happens in Papatoetoe is nothing like what happens in St Heliers. Now that I've cheered you all up, let's get your property sold. So it's really quite an interesting message from a real estate agent. So, you know, obviously there's a reflection there that, okay, we've got to do something to earn a living and to go and get houses sold.
It's really interesting because that's actually, you know, a real estate agent being more truthful than many have been, right? Certainly, what I've seen. But there also is an air of desperation. I don't know whether you sit there, but certainly here in Australia, because the volumes and the sales cycle are so slow now that many real estate agents are really under pressure and are not generating sufficient income to cover the costs of running their firm.
You know, I think a lot of them, unfortunately, they just don't understand that the press have been so negligent in their duties over the last few years of actually giving people a better economic understanding. This goes from everything because, you know, I've talked about how in the past and some of our other posts, how the, the are you being enticed into the property market, for example, the one we did quite early on when we first met. The focus is so, Goebbels would have been fucking impressed with the level of indoctrination. But it's been so focused that that whole message is just there without any real understanding of why it's happened. The apartment market, just looking at the numbers, and Mike's broken this down. So, and this is worrying because this is where we've got a hell of a lot of construction taking place. A lot of off the plan sales that won't finalise and won't need to finalise for another year or so until these places are built. But the apartment sales in the 500 to 750k bracket, which is a lot of them. There were 346 in the 3 months to the end of August of 2018. That's dropped by more than half to 168 now. And I've seen some data from interest.co.nz, which I'm still banned from, I think, but I'm not allowed to comment there anymore. But they were talking about apartments that were selling back at 1998 prices. I'm not kidding. There were sales of some units that, for whatever reason, sellers have, you know, they may have made the rental yield over the period of time, but it's 21 years and you've got sales back in the 1990s. Just a few cases where obviously there's an absolute need to get the money in, but that's going to set the level of expectation for anyone who's buying anything new. I'd be looking and thinking, well, why bother? You know, you may as well go and see if you can chop someone's balls off on something that's already there. So what happens with record levels of construction activity in New Zealand, record levels of consents being issued again across the country in August, more building consents issued than any point since the 1970s boom. And you've got to think the 1970s boom, which was 70 to 75, was followed by real house prices in New Zealand falling 38% between 1975 and 1980. So it's quite a challenging dynamic. We'll talk about Kiwi Build because that's had a reset this week, but maybe we'll do that in a different post.
Okay. Well, just before we close out this one, of course, the other thing to say is that the newly constructed stuff, certainly in Australia, is under a big cloud now because of all the faulty construction and the flammable cladding and all of those things. We also now know that the number of people who signed up off the plan and then doesn't complete has doubled, according to one big developer who reported quite recently, because people now are trying to walk away from those because the values have just not gone where people expected. And in fact, you can do a whole lot better by buying an older property rather than buying a new one, and that is a very interesting state of affairs when there is so much under construction.
Yeah, well, this is happening elsewhere, and I've got friends of mine who are in the banking sector based in Hong Kong who are now talking about, and Hong Kong's going through all sorts of challenges, but where properties that are owned by Chinese nationals in Hong Kong are being repossessed to pay debts in China. We may see some of that here because of the, you know, 25% of the Auckland population is now Chinese. And how much of that is, you know, if it's permanent residency, not a problem, but how much of that has been speculative purchasing? We know from data from a couple of years ago that by 2017 there's around 6.3% of properties in Auckland were owned and unoccupied. And a lot of those were owned by foreign nationals. If there is pressure building offshore, that could have a big impact on us.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think the conclusion, Joe, is that this is an area to watch again, and it doesn't look too good ahead.
No, well, I'm looking to get back up to Auckland in a month or two, so I will go and have a little look at some of the sites that we visited in our earlier Auckland housing crisis posts.
Great. Okay, well, good to talk to you, and see you again next time.
Take care, Martin.
Cheers. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.